Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. Very important scripture as we live into the season of Advent, from Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear these words as they were originally offered from Jesus to his disciples and whoever would hear and listen. Words offered for us today. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptizing by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I offer the impatient question. I experienced it as a child, I experienced it as a youth, I experienced it as an adult, and for some reason, sometimes I can't let go of it. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I recall, and perhaps you may recall similarly back to childhood, where you may have been traveling with parents or family, and it just seemed like forever to get to that destination, wherever it might have been. I remember particularly with that phrase that part of our season in between Christmas and New Year's was to travel to my aunt and uncle's house in Syracuse, New York. So we're traveling from the northwest corner of the state in Ada, Ohio, all the way across, and it just seemed like it was eternity. And I was usually the one, not my two older sisters or my younger brother, to say to Dad, "Are we there yet?" And Mama would say, "No, we're not," but would reassure us that we soon will be. And with all hope and reassurance and their presence with us to offer that in action, we would arrive safely. We will get there. We will get there safely, children. So beyond those childhood images or any of those moments in life in which you say to yourself, "Are we there yet?" Do you find it sometimes in the season of Advent? We know the rhythm, we know the weeks, the 1st and now the 8th and then the 15th and then the 22nd, and we live into Christmas Eve, thank God, and Jesus Christ, and then the glory of Christmas Day. The world would tell us to leap, of course, because we see Christmas lights and the buzz and the action of consumerism and hurriedness even before sometimes Halloween. And so the world would tell us just to glaze over this thing about Advent, this season of Adventus, of waiting, of hoping. But we know as Christians that it's worth it. We know it's worth it, and we're encouraged in the worthwhileness of that. In our preaching and teaching, as we heard from Reverend Alice last week, in holy waiting, in the image in God's creation, and seeing the glimmer and hope of light, and that powerful image in which her granddaughter Miriam was on the floor, and she's looking underneath and sees the light and knows that her grandmother's on the side and wanting her to come out. The incarnation of God in our experiences as grandmothers, as mothers, as families, as children, as we live in the mystery of this season and hope, and that analogy of the light that will come where the door is finally open is what we hold on to. Particularly when we are saying to ourselves and others, are we there yet? Just get us to Christmas Eve. Going through these weeks of Advent are important because if we take time for them and we soak it in, it'll make that Christmas day all the more meaningful. We'll experience in similar but new ways the birth of Christ in our lives, empowering us with hope, with peace, with love, with joy, to take us through to the end of the year, to the new year, with whatever life experiences are offered. But yet we hurry, we get caught up into it. We get so busy that we overlook opportunities or signs in particular that help us to connect with the importance of Advent to Christmas. An author named Susan Andrews published an article called We Need John. Very interesting story about her children. One of the teachers, when they were involved in Sunday school and church early on, gave the children a creche, a nativity scene. Now, they were interesting, the shapes of these. They were pliable, they were soft, and for little children they could identify, but they could play with them and move them around and even drop them and they wouldn't break. It was an interactive creche. And Susan says that she was troubled by this because, for one reason or another, the Joseph figure, and these were also, they had yarn heads for some reason. They were really creative, very artistic. And it was like this beet red yarn with hair firing up. And she would ponder to herself, looking at that crush, that nativity scene, that doesn't look like Joseph. My image of Joseph is kind of more staid and loyal and faithful and solemn. That looks more like John the Baptist. So what does she do? And I'm not sure her children understood what she was doing, but when they weren't looking, she substituted one of the shepherds that was more staid and plain for Joseph and took that figure that was originally planned as Joseph with the red and fire and took it to the periphery, to the outside. And she pretended and she imagined that that was John the Baptist proclaiming the way, preparing the way for eventually the shepherds and the wise men and, of course, Mary and Joseph and the newborn Jesus to enter their lives. Are you including John the Baptist in your nativity scenes? Are you including John in the Koresh? Because you should. Because the author points out, if we don't, if we ignore it, go, oh, that's the Sunday that's kind of harsh and stern with what we're being told, and this is supposed to be a time of joy. And, you know, I don't want to deal with John. Just get me to the Jesus part. John, in fact, gives us deeper meaning and the anticipation and living all the things in hope, peace, love, and joy. They become more meaningful when we get in touch with this stern proclaimer, this herald, this prophet, who proclaims the one to come who will be more powerful than him, who will baptize not just for water in our sins, but baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, but an accountability to be in worship and reverence and loyalty to our God, his Father, our Father. The proclamation of the one to teach, to heal, to cure, to bring peace. We cannot glaze over John the Baptist and expect to have a fuller season of Advent and Christmas Day and beyond. And so in these stern words that were offered from the prophet to those who would listen, and for those of us who would listen today, we're not only to hear them and to be somewhat jolted by them, but we're to respond to them. How are you, as John the Baptist told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and let's not pick on them, because it was all, and all of us too, that Carrie said, and that we are called to repent. How are you repenting? How are you turning from sin in this season? How are you confessing of your sins? How are you preparing the way of the Lord, the entrance of the Lord to come in your life so that you might also prepare a way of deeper meaning for others? How are you allowing yourself to find still moments or not take for granted interaction moments with people in which the Holy Spirit, filled with fire, illuminates you in a glow that will burst forth on Christmas Day? How are you living the words of John the Baptist to prepare the way, allowing God to prepare ways in you that you would prepare it for others? Now, there are ways in which things come in our lives, and for me, one of those is nature, to remind us of the importance of this point. Not just in theology and philosophy and interpretation of Scripture and attempting to live into the mystery of it, but things that are tangible, that leads to clearer paths, deeper understandings of the importance of this. So it was many, many years ago, as long as I could remember, that Terry and our children, particularly during the years that we lived in Worcester, when they were in late elementary, junior high, and eventually high school age, that we would go to the Pine Tree Barn, just south of Worcester, near Triway High School, that whole area, and we'd go to find and pick our Christmas tree. And we would drive up and we'd already start looking. We'd like, oh, wow, it's all picked over. You know, people have made their way to the periphery there and they've already picked out their tree. I wonder if there's any left. And I remember one year in particular, as we went out, there was a gentle soul who was tending to that area and helping families. And as we started to go in and we're like, we're not going to find one. He goes, go deeper. Go deeper. So we went a couple more rows in, and then we're seeing the different kinds, and they're still kind of small, or there's, you know, chunks that are out, they're not all healthy, and we're like, where? And he starts to raise his deep, because we're going in further, and he goes, go deeper. Go deeper. And so we walk, and then of course, Terry and I are thinking, we got to cut down this tree, and then we got to drag it out, and have them, you know, rope it and put it on the, and we're still not there yet. And the kids are kind of saying, are we there yet already for our tree? And finally we hear one lad that went, go deeper. And we obliged, and we did. And finally at that core, we found some of those trees that were full, almost as if they had not been seen yet by people that had come before us. Hopefully some that would come after us. And we found our tree and we took it out. And we took it home and we set it up. And I was mindful that particular Christmas around the voice of the person who was proclaiming almost as prophet, go deeper to experience this Christmas. To find life as God would intend it to be found. Now, we don't have to have live Christmas trees to do this, do we? Over the years, as we became empty nesters, you know, for some of us, it becomes a lot of work. Some are determined we will have until our last dying breath a live tree in our house. And I respect that. But we went artificial, and they're beautiful. And so for years, and you haven't started it, it seems to wear and tear. So this year was time to depart from a tree where some of the lights were out, and we couldn't figure out where they would light again, to go out and shop for a tree. We looked at not one place, not two places, with that image and sound of go deeper, go to the next store, 3, 4, 5. We went to 7 different stores, finally found a great deal at Hobby Lobby. Thanks to my wife, she finds the deals on all kinds of things. I would have bought prematurely. We got a wonderful tree and it's at home. If we had waited too quickly, just found the first one, what joy would have been that? There's joy in the labor and step by step and taking it in. If it's a live tree, an artificial tree, if it's the crush you set up, it sometimes can be a laborious act of love each year for yourselves and others to really take time with what you're doing as opposed to now it's all set up, okay, we're done. But then you then, as you've dug deeper in those experiences, do you take time to experience it? And so I dug deeper as I was looking at our new tree the other night. And I thought about the prophets of old and what Isaiah proclaimed through John the Baptist and how the birth of Jesus happened. And then because of his life, his death, his resurrection, and everything that Jesus gave for us, that the first disciples and apostles and first church, and through the many, many centuries, bringing us, all of us, to today. That it all links together, and it's because people took the time to dig deeper and not just impatiently say, well, because we're not there yet, I quit. And I'm just going to live with it as. We're never called to quit. We go on, and we know that in this season, I was pondering that in my quiet and stillness, that while this time could be a time of joy, it's not a time of joy for everyone. And sometimes it's a balance of just a lot of yuck and goodness and everything in between, and all that life and faith has to offer. And thank God for our faith. And the yearn and the journey, as we get on the other side, are we there yet for the newborn Christ child in light to be open to us, to be born again in our joys, in our triumphs, in our losses, in our successes. Mindful sometimes of those who are not with us in body, but are truly here with us in spirit, and will live on forever through Christ, who is born over and over in us, and born forever with them in eternal life, our family and friends who have gone on. And so as you lean into preparing the way, there are moments that we prepare the community of faith to walk alongside one another in the fullness of all these things, so that we know that we are not alone in our joy, in our gain, and in our losses. And there are gifts that we are to open before Christmas Day. And one of those powerful gifts is the gift of music. It's the gift that Gabriella brings with her voice, and the gifts that the choir brings with their voice. And it's the gift and the ability to play a piano beyond anyone's imagination. And so it is now that we have this opportunity in preparing the way of the Lord again to give us confidence and hope in all our days, not just in Advent and Christmas, that we will unfold and receive the gift from Gabriella and Javier as they play and sing, "How Great Thou Art," in memory of a dear saint, a dear sister in Christ, Marlene Janice Sheets. Thank you.